You're listening to the Live Free Now podcast, bringing you the news, views, tips, and tools you can use to live a free, prosperous, and healthy life. Find us online at livefreenow.show. And now your host, John Bush. Hey friends, John Bush here today to talk to you about COVID-19 and all the crazy stuff going on. Haven't done a video in a while, just moved into a new office for my business. As you can see, that's where I am right now. And a lot has happened since my last video. And, you know, there's a lot of discord and dissension. And I was hesitant to even do this video. I think I'm going to start focusing more on solutions and what we can do about all of this to create a better world on the flip side, because so many people seem to all be already have made up their minds, and everyone's divided into the camps. We all need to lock down and shelter and stay home, and it's bad news bears if you don't, and it's time to open things up, and perhaps the virus wasn't as bad as originally thought. And like always happens in this country, everyone is just divided and I've actually struggled to communicate with rational adult-like discord with people. I bring up some altering views to what most people seem to think about coronavirus, maybe not most people, and it tends to get contentious all of a sudden. And I've been called a moron, stupid, idiot, crackpot, conspiracy theorist more than any other time in my life, simply for questioning or sharing views that are different from that little 3x5 index card of acceptable thought. That's what Tom Woods would always say. There's a 3x5 index card of discourse that's allowed by the mainstream media and by the powers that be. And anytime you step outside of that little card, people seem to freak out and get in a tizzy. Even some of my friends from high school aren't say that they've lost respect for me. I'm a piece of shit. Part of it is because I shared this J.P. Sears video that really mocks and pokes fun at people that are just buying the mainstream media stuff. And one of the things that, interestingly enough, been called a conspiracy theory quite a bit. One of the things that J.P. Sears says is, I really appreciate that I can call people a conspiracy theorist. I don't have to weigh what it is they're saying. But anyway, it actually inspires me to do more videos and to take more action. But today I really want to talk about why we shouldn't trust the government and the government's position when it comes to COVID-19. Because, and oftentimes, more often than not, they're totally full of it. And we're going to go over some articles and some headlines and some studies on that front to kind of show this position. But first I want to start, this is one of the things that I've been getting a lot of flack for, because I've been saying ever since these antibody tests started coming out and we have new data to determine perhaps what the mortality rate is, which I believe is extremely important. The mortality rate of this virus is something that should be considered when it comes to public policy decisions, lockdowns, opening the economy. And a lot of people seem to believe that the mortality rate, the percentage of people that die that become infected, is around 2-4%. The numbers were even estimated as high as 6-7%. And of course, whenever you take the number of reported cases, you take the number of people that have died in a given geographic area, you divide that by the number of reported cases, and then you multiply that by 100. That's how you get the mortality rate. Whenever you use reported cases, tested cases, as one of the variables, I don't think you're going to get a very accurate number, because the number of tests are severely limited. Now we start seeing these antibody tests coming out all across the country, which I believe give us a more accurate look at people that are infected or that were infected. And so let's see what those antibody tests show. But first, you know, I bring up that the mortality rate is actually lower than we thought and is actually a little bit closer to that of a severe seasonal flu, and that's when I'm called an idiot, crackpot, hard-headed, whatever. But as we see, actually the CDC tends to agree with me on that front. This is a tweet from the CDC. And this was verified. This is legit. And it said, according to the latest CDC COVID view report, increases in hospitalization rates from COVID-19, which are cumulative, have started to level off. The hospitalization rate is highest among adults 65 and older, and similar to what has been seen during a comparable time during a recent high severity flu season. So you see, that's the words from the CDC themselves comparing it to the flu. And I get labeled a crackpot for comparing it to the flu for some reason. And now we see who else had to say this. Anthony Fauci. This is from a month or two ago, and it's a paper in the New England Journal of Medicine, which isn't some crackpot thing. COVID-19, navigating the uncharted. If you scroll down here, we see pretty compelling information here. So here we go. This is from Dr. Anthony Fauci himself. If one assumes the number of asymptomatic or minimally symptomatic cases is several times as high as the number of reported cases, the case fatality rate may be considerably less than 1%. I'm going to read that again. The case fatality rate may be considerably less than 1%. This suggests that the overall clinical consequences of COVID-19 may be more akin to those of a severe seasonal influenza, which has a case fatality rate of approximately 0.1%, or a pandemic influenza, rather than a disease similar to SARS or MERS, which have a case fatality rate of 9 to 10% and 30%, respectively. Now, I will say, to be more thorough, he does go on to say that one of the issues with this virus in particular is that it's believed to be more contagious. So even if you have a smaller mortality rate and it spreads more, then more people could potentially die. But in my opinion, as we know from many other studies now, for example, in Italy, 99% of the people that passed from COVID-19, that reported to pass from COVID-19, had other pre-existing conditions and comorbidities. And additionally, 80% of the people that come down with COVID-19 are completely asymptomatic. So when it comes to public policy, while I'm not a public policy specialist and I just share an opinion, even though people seem to get all worked up, I think a better policy would have been to me there. Okay. I think a better policy would have been to, well, first, I'm all about freedom. I'm a total anarchist. So really there wouldn't be any public policy, but a better thing to do in certain societies would have been to for people to go on about their business. And then for those that are susceptible, highly vulnerable, multiple pre-existing conditions, potentially they shelter in, it would be easier for society to rally around and support those people if they're out of work. So what we see coming out now, and this is originally what I was thinking, that once we get a better view of how many people actually have the virus, we would then be able to deduce a more accurate mortality rate than what the tests are showing us. And in a sec, we're going to talk about how some of the tests could even be BS. And maybe these antibody tests are BS. But somebody compiled this wonderful spreadsheet here that I'd like to share with you right now that is a list of just about all of the serological, which are the antibody tests, and similar tests that have come out all across the world. And here we see what tends to be the most infected, the percentage here. This is them extrapolating the percentage of infected people. And so the way that these tests work is some scientists or a governmental body will come out and they will do antibody tests for people at random. Now, some of these tests have been debated about the efficacy of their methodology, like the one in Santa Clara County, for example. And everyone's like, the antibody tests are BS. But it's like, well, actually, we have a few dozen of these tests that all seem to say the same thing, that the mortality rate is far lower than originally expected, far lower than the 2 to 4% or the 6 to 7% as was being thrown out early on. And so even if we throw out the Santa Clara County one, we see that whenever scientists or whenever doctors or whenever governments and public health officials go out and at random do antibody tests for people, like people that are entering a grocery store, people on the street, people that are sent a survey, like in New York State, for example, a couple of weeks ago, they've done more. They're continuously doing them. They had like 15,000 people. So they'll take a sample body of people, 15,000, whatever, in the case of New York. They'll do antibody tests for all of them. They'll determine that, wow, 25% of that random 15,000 people, which is a significant portion of people, it's not like they're just testing 20 people or 50 people, 25% of the people have antibodies, meaning that they previously had coronavirus. So then they take that 25% and apply it to the general population of the state of New York. And it turns out a ton of people have had the virus. Then if we utilize this number that we have deduced from the antibody test percentage, if we utilize this number as the variable to divide the people that have died into, we find out, I believe, that we have a much more accurate mortality rate. And this is the type of conversation that I was trying to have with people on multiple different occasions, but for some reason, people just don't want to hear it. I think there is some sort of sociological phenomenon taking place, psychological phenomenon, where people in a state of fear, in a state of panic, they reach their original conclusion. And now when data, when information is presented to them that doesn't jive with that original conclusion that they have just solidified in their mind, they push back against it. And rather than some, very rarely, I have people that are pushing back rationally, and some people even bring up good counter arguments that I weigh and consider. But more often than not, people either won't even address me. They'll like talk about me in a thread, but not address me directly. They'll call me crackpot, idiot, morons are here, I'm hard-headed, but I'm simply trying to have a conversation with people because I think in these trying times, as we'll see a lot of the crazy stuff that's taking place, it's really important that we pursue truth and we try to figure out how we can come as close to the truth as possible in order to draw conclusions. Another phenomenon that I see taking place is people say, well, nobody knows what's going on. We don't have data here. This data is there. There's competing data. Some of the data could be incorrect. And so they're like, well, I'm just not going to take a position. However, whenever there's a position that is more in line with what they feel inside or what the media has been telling them, in my opinion, then they're totally content with that. But whenever there's a counter position, they resist it. But I'm here to encourage you. I probably should have led with this as part of my introduction, that I think it's absolutely imperative that we do take a position because of what's taking place with our country, with our freedoms, with our economy, with our lives. Now, mind you, staying inside, washing your hands religiously, spraying Lysol all over is in fact going to damage and harm your immune system so that whenever everyone emerges from their little cocoon, then people are probably going to be even more susceptible to viruses, COVID included. Not to mention we have tons and tons of viruses all over in our body and so many foreign agents that are within our body, bacteria and viruses. Like our body is comprised of so many cells that aren't even our human cells and our human tissue with our human DNA. And, you know, we seem to be doing just fine. But let's get back to the study here, all these serological tests. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in with me here on this live video. So this is the percentage infected based on their study. This is, of course, they have a bias, so they actually account for that. And then this is the infected fatality rate, the mortality rate. So we see a study in France had a 0.7. Continuous Spanish study in Spain has 1. Geneva and Switzerland, 0.5. All of these are less than 1. This one was actually 1. Let's go to some United States. Boise, Idaho, 0.17. Iran, 0.12, which is in line with the severe seasonal flu. Sweden, 0.11. Here's a huge one that took place in New York. And the last time I checked in on it, it was actually 15,000 people. And they came out with a mortality rate of 0.77. Now, some of the other things that we're experiencing and witnessing are there has been a correlation. Now, correlation doesn't necessarily mean causation, but I think it's pretty good estimation, in my opinion, to draw the conclusion. Areas like Wuhan or the Hubei province in China or northern Italy, for example, or New York City already have a high occurrence of respiratory disease and ailments and infections and all sorts of problems, in large part because of the pollution. And being in a city, everyone's packed inside, stays a lot inside. When they're actually going out, there's pollution from cars, from industry. And so it's not to mention in New York City, if you follow what happened after 9/11, when the towers came down, they just sprayed out all sorts of asbestos and chemicals and stuff that human beings should not have been breathing. Many of the first responders came down with cancer and all that stuff. Shout out to the 9/11 truthers that exposed that and fought for relief for these first responders. That may have something to do with it. So that's why perhaps in Los Angeles County, which just one of my best friend actually lives in Los Angeles County, and the guy was giving me a pretty damn hard time about sharing my opinion and sharing that JP Sears video, which I decided to go a little low. I usually don't go low, but people were talking smack and calling me crazy and crackpot, so I decided to share the video. But he lives in LA County. They just extended their lockdown for 2 months, and they extended it based on what's likely a mortality rate of 0.2, which isn't even twice as deadly as a severe seasonal flu. That's LA County there. Miami-Dade also did one recently. They got a 0.2 mortality rate as well. So again, we see New York with 0.77. Even Wuhan region showing up with 0.36, man. So this collection of information here, they come up with a median average of 0.36 for the mortality rate. So think about that, folks. That means 0.36% of people that come down with COVID-19 end up dying. On the converse side of that, it means that 99.64% of the people that get COVID do not die. And you have to take into account what we have experienced as a whole, as a society, as a result of this. And I think that it's way out of line, and this is why I encourage people that are watching. I know some people are watching on the Conscious Resistance, and you guys are already taking a position. Many of you are taking action, forming freedom cells, getting active, getting out, speaking out, protesting, doing agorism. Also my personal page, though, I'm going to encourage people that may have tuned in. A lot of people just turn it out. If it has, like, don't trust the government. People are like, oh, this guy's a crackpot conspiracy. There's nothing to consider he has to say. For those of you that have stuck around and considered, I encourage you to take a position, because the evidence is now indicating that the virus is less deadly than anticipated. Even if it is contagious and highly contagious, there's things that we can do in order to overcome that. And I would encourage people, rather than sheltering in and hiding from the virus, living in a state of panic and fear, which in turn will deplete your immune system, reduce your immune system's effectiveness, I would encourage people to really double down on getting out, getting some sunlight, vitamin D, boosting your immune system, taking vitamins, herbs, minerals, avoiding stress and anxiety. We should take a position, because there's a lot of nasty stuff taking place. Now, I want to say the title of this video is Why We Shouldn't Trust the Government, Why the Government's BS. There's been a lot of contention as far as maybe the deaths are being overreported. And I just want to share what the CDC's official position is. This is cdc.gov, as you can see here from the website. And this is their guidance on certifying deaths due to coronavirus. And now when we scroll down here, we see what they say. In cases where a definite diagnosis of COVID-19 cannot be made but is suspected or likely, it is acceptable to report COVID-19 on a death certificate as probable or presumed. In these instances, certifiers should use their best clinical judgment in determining if a COVID-19 infection was likely. However, please note that testing for COVID-19 should be conducted wherever possible. So in spite of those numbers that we just looked at with the antibody tests, I would argue that perhaps there's comorbidities. There's been examples where someone was in hospice, for example, that already was given 2 to 4 weeks or 2 to 4 months to live. They come down with COVID, or they have COVID in their system. They end up dying of COVID along with other things, or the other things primarily, but they had COVID in their system when they were tested. These numbers are being counted. We see stories coming out where doctors are doing their own little YouTube videos and saying that they have been pressured by their superiors in the administration to list as many COVID deaths as possible, list as many deaths as possible as COVID-19. And then, of course, this was coming out and it was being shared on social media, and they were saying hospitals are getting paid more if patients are listed as COVID-19 or on ventilators. Look at old Joe Biden there. And there was a lot of pushback about this. And a lot of people are like, this is fake news. This can't possibly be true. Well, it turns out even USA Today, which is total mainstream media, part of the agenda, here's the claim. Typically the diagnosed related group. Here's someone that's talking about this. Hospital administrators might well want to see COVID-19 attached to a discharge summary or death certificate. Why? Because if it's straightforward garden variety pneumonia that a person is admitted to the hospital for, if they're Medicare, typically, the diagnosis-related group lump sum payment may be $5,000. But if COVID-19 pneumonia, then it's $13,000. And if that COVID-19 pneumonia patient ends up on a ventilator, it goes up to $39,000. And, of course, we see tons of people that are in New York State or New York City that were on ventilators also dying. So perhaps the cure ends up killing people. Oftentimes what we see happen with like cancer treatment, a lot of Western treatments. But USA Today went down and they rated this as true. Our ruling is that it is true. We rate the claim that hospitals get paid more if patients are listed as COVID-19 and on ventilators as true. And so I'm not saying that all doctors or all hospital administration is unethical or corrupt. But I will say that because of all of the lockdowns, because of the cessation of non-emergency medical procedures, we now see that hospitals, hospital staff, and doctors and nurses are being laid off, and hospitals are losing an immense amount of money. So it's not out of the ordinary to expect that there could be hospital administrators that would be putting pressure on doctors to go ahead and list that as COVID-19, when in fact COVID-19 wasn't the actual cause of death, in order to get that extra money so they can keep things going. Then we see all sorts of crazy stuff coming out with these various tests that we have. Like Cobb County man tests positive and negative for COVID-19 just hours apart. Can you believe that? This is a true story here. A Cobb County man says he tested positive and negative for the coronavirus just about 4 hours apart. Sean Smith said he was tested positive for coronavirus at 8 a.m. on Saturday at Piedmont Hospital. He said he decided to get a second test done just to make sure. He had tested negative for the virus just 10 days prior. The results of his second test on Saturday came back negative. Now, if that wasn't enough to cast a doubt on the efficacy of these tests, we see the president of Tanzania, he went ahead and tested a goat and some fruit and found that the goat and the fruit tested positive as well. Coronavirus test kits used in Tanzania were dismissed as faulty by President John Magufuli on Sunday because he said they returned positive results on samples taken from a goat and a pawpaw fruit. Man, oh man. And then we see countless times, this isn't the only time this happened, Pennsylvania removes 200 deaths from state coronavirus count as questions mount about reporting process and accuracy. We also see in New York State that, or maybe it's New York City, thousands of coronavirus tests were added as soon as the CDC updated their guidance on how to classify the deaths and giving the doctors the liberty to use their best judgment, not having to verify with the test. So I just want to throw that out there. This is the information. This is the data. This is the type of medical work that is being utilized in order. These are the tests that are being utilized in order to come up with policies. And whenever we have a top-down authoritarian statist institution that's able to issue edicts, rulings, policies that affect a whole mass number of people, and whenever they're using data that isn't so solid and on shaky grounds and shaky foundation, we have a cause for concern. And of course, there's a lot of concern with all the nasty stuff that's taking place. And now I want to shift gears and talk about why the government's given all sorts of advice, not just advice and recommendations, but coercive rules. And I'm not even going to call it law because it's not law. These BS edicts that people are required to follow, one of which was the shelter in order. Well, we see New York State. Even Cuomo was caught off guard by this. Majority of New York coronavirus cases are from people staying at home, not traveling or working. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo shared initial survey results of hospitalized coronavirus patients during a Wednesday press conference, which said 66% of respondents were at home before being admitted, showing that the virus has continued to spread during lockdown, even as New Yorkers prepare for an eventual reopening. It's not just that they were at home. It's that they were not traveling a whole lot. They're not working. They're not traveling. They're predominantly downstate, predominantly minority, predominantly older. Much of this comes down to what you do to protect yourself. So here we see people that were sheltering in, that were listening to the government's coercive edicts, yet they were still coming down with it. And I would argue perhaps one of the reasons why people are getting sick for just staying home. There's a lot of people that are taking these recommendations super duper seriously, wearing the gloves, spraying their hands, cleaning all the surfaces religiously, not going out for just about anything, maybe going out once in a blue moon to get the groceries and then coming right back and watching that television at home, which is just a fear box. But now we see evidence mounts that it's safer Outside is safer when it comes to COVID-19. Health experts say people are significantly less likely to get the coronavirus while outside, a fact that could add momentum to calls to reopen beaches and parks closed during the COVID-19 pandemic. One of the most absolutely ridiculous things that I've seen throughout all this is the fact that beaches are closed, the fact that parks are closed. They have all the tape around the parks. There's no better thing for people to do right now than exercise. Go out and, wouldn't you know it, get some vitamin D, because also science says that people with low vitamin D levels are more likely to die from coronavirus, the study finds. This is being shown all over the world, and this is something that many people already knew. People that have vitamin D deficiencies are more susceptible to fatality from coronavirus. So perhaps all of the staying inside actually isn't serving people. Another big recommendation that's being pushed and pounded and seen as a sense of pride, and people are being ridiculed and pushed back and made fun of for not wearing a mask. Well, we see this, there's all this competing information and competing data. So what I want to encourage people to do is to go with your gut, go with your instinct. And if you haven't traditionally relied on your own gut or your own instincts for things, rather you've taken the advice of authorities, which I should mention is a strategy that was laid out by Edward L. Bernays, the father of modern propaganda, the nephew of Sigmund Freud, who wrote in a book, Propaganda, that one of the strategies to get control over the masses, you don't have to necessarily control the minds of all of the men and women. Rather, you control the authorities, doctors, universities, intelligentsia, media. And then all of these people that never really learned discernment or to think for themselves, they take the word of the authority figure. So it's much easier to control people. You don't have to interject and control and put your messaging in on all of these people, although that's easier and easier to do these days. You just influence the influencers, so to speak. And of course, people's like, take the mask, wear the mask. But now we see competing information coming out on that. And even the United States' own Surgeon General has been speaking out against that. Surgeon General, data doesn't back up wearing masks in public amid coronavirus pandemic. U.S. Surgeon General Jerome Adams said on Fox and Friends Tuesday that the data doesn't show that wearing masks in public will help people during the coronavirus pandemic. We also see the World Health Organization stands by the recommendation to not wear masks if you are sick or not caring for someone who is sick. This is another thing that people were like, I saw someone at the grocery store not wearing a mask, and they were just so happy to kill people and infect people. And I go in and say, well, actually, there's not a lot of data that shows that wearing the mask is effective at preventing infection. And then people, well, yeah, I suppose you just don't pay attention to science and the CDC and the World Health Organization, which, of course, the data isn't even really all there. And then we do see studies. I'm only going to share one of them, but there's studies all over the place, multiple ones that came out in the past studying other SARS coronaviruses, but have also come out about this coronavirus. This one is effectiveness of surgical and cotton masks in blocking SARS-CoV-2, a controlled comparison in four patients. Now, mind you, four patients isn't a whole lot of patients to explore, but this is just, we see similar conclusions being drawn. Neither surgical nor cotton masks effectively filtered SARS-CoV-2 during coughs by infected patients. Prior evidence that surgical masks effectively filtered influenza virus informed recommendations that patients confirmed or suspected COVID-19 should wear face masks to prevent transmission. However, size and concentrations of SARS-CoV-2 and aerosols generated during coughing are unknown. The size of SARS-CoV-2 particle from the 2002-2004 outbreak was estimated 0.08 to 0.14. Not sure what this measurement is. Assuming that SARS-CoV-2 has a similar size, surgical masks are unlikely to effectively filter the virus. Not only that, I started to just, my gut was starting to think that the wearing the mask was no good. The first time that I stepped outside in the hot summer sun and was like, wait a second, this thing's coming off. I'm not going to wait in line outside of Juiceland in 95 degree weather with this mask. Not to mention, if you're wearing the mask a considerable amount of time, you're effectively breathing in your own carbon dioxide that you're putting out, your own CO2, which is no good. And then there's also things that can happen. You can lose blood oxygen, all sorts of problematic stuff, especially if you're wearing it for a considerable amount of time. So this is why I do believe that the government is full of shit, and why it's absolutely important for people to use discernment, to think for themselves, to read between the lines, not just buy up what the so-called experts are saying, because there's competing experts. For every two experts you have that say this, it could be easily found two experts to say otherwise. And we often find ourselves, myself included, We find people that are already biased in one position. And when you have experts, data, information, studies that back up their bias, this is called a confirmation bias, then they're just going to push that, go forward with that, solidify that, prop it up as truth, as the holy grail. Whenever information, data, studies come out, experts say things that count is counter to their bias, then these people are going to reject it. And I would encourage people to look at things with an open, objective mind, because as I said before, there's so much crazy stuff going on. There is harm taking place health-wise. There are people dying. There are freedoms being taken away. There's a massive police surveillance state being propped up, which we are going to explore as well. There's businesses that are failing. People have invested their entire life savings, 10, 20, 30, 40 years. They're being shut down. People are out of work. We are yet to experience the full repercussions of the economic harm that is going to come as a result of this. Could be on Great Depression levels, like the unemployment is currently. And it's absolutely important that we use critical thinking, discernment, try to put our biases aside as we pursue truth together, individually and collectively as a group. Now let's talk about why it is absolutely important that I think we should take a position. I think that position should be, let's get our immune systems in order, let's get healthy, let's get outside, let's get things going again, let's end these BS lockdowns, and let's push back on the police surveillance state that's being created. I don't have audio set up, or maybe you could tell me if there's audio set up, but I want to share what's taking place with the social distancing BS. This is an example of a mother in England. Tell me if you can hear this there in the comments. If not, it's fine. I'll just describe what's happening. She was protesting on the streets. Can you hear this, everybody? Let me know. She has a child with her that looks to be about 5 years old. And the police there in England are arresting this woman for protesting, for not social distancing. Can you hear this, ladies and gentlemen? Can you hear the audio? Not, it's fine. And so this continues. The child is absolutely crying, just freaking out, probably traumatized. And the police in England, I guess this was London, they take her away. She uses her motherly instincts, holds on to her child. They're pulling on her. This poor baby is going to probably remember that forever. And they end up taking her away, putting her in a cage. So that's in England. And now let's see what's taking place over in the United States. What's interesting, too, is there's a lot of people that you call social justice warriors, left-leaning folks that really care about police brutality, about racism, that are opposed to it and fight back against it, point it out whenever it's present. But what we do see taking place in New York City, and probably in all the major cities, is that there's racial disparity between who the police are harassing and enforcing social distancing on. We see this with every single freaking law, because in large part of the police institutions are a holdover from Jim Crow and are racist to the core at an institutional level. But we see there were 374 summons issued for violations of emergency procedures and acts liable to spread disease. Out of the 374, 304 were handed out to Black and Hispanic people. And here we see an example of that taking place on a New York City subway. Yet again, a mother. No respect for the mother child. This woman had a mask that was down around her neck, and this took place. The police come in full force harassing her. She's like, F this. You know how New Yorkers and Yankees are up there in the Northeast. They don't really mess around. And the cops stop harassing her. She pushes back. She swaps their hand away, and then they lose it because the woman dare question their authority and push back. They take her to the ground and arrest her. I don't know what happens to the child, but this is absolutely nuts. So this is why I think it's important to take a position, because this is absolutely disgusting what's taking place in this country. And then we see with all these contract tracers, little Gestapo, Tennessee, Nashville health officials provide names of those testing positive for coronavirus to police. The police will show up to your home and make sure that you are quarantined following all the edicts. This is coming out of Austin, Texas. Texas Restaurants Association says asking restaurants to keep track of customers isn't fair. Many cities are recommending that restaurants keep track of their customers' names, even the details of where they sat. Now, this isn't required of them, but many do-good restaurant owners are following it. Of course, you can give a fake name. Me personally, I haven't experienced this. As soon as restaurants started opening up, I started going to restaurants. I started bringing my family to restaurants, started taking my girlfriend out to date at restaurants. started tipping very big because people were out of work and they're doing shifts where they don't have the full wait staff on hand. And so if this does happen, I would encourage people to make a stink about it. Be polite because, you know, I try to have compassion for people. I know that they're scared. I know that they were out of work. I know that the restaurants were on the verge of closing down. They're just trying to do their best. They are not as radical as I am and don't share all the same radical libertarian beliefs as I do. But I would make a stink about it. And I would go so far as to say, if you're going to require me to give a name, then I'm just going to go to the restaurant down the street. And I suggest you guys don't do this. I imagine many restaurant owners, if it's a recommendation, they're not going to comply anyway. But this is just the tip of the spear. Here's an article in Yahoo News, pretty mainstream, how the coronavirus could turn U.S. into a surveillance state. Landing artificial intelligence has developed a tool that can track people's locations in real time to see if pedestrians are getting too close to each other. It's meant to enforce social distancing policies. This is happening all over the place with technology. Now we see U.S. firm combines nanotechnology blockchain for COVID-19 immunity passports. I don't know how far this is going to get because it seems like things are starting to lighten up and people are starting to see through the BS. We even see these massive protests taking place with like militia folks, people showing up armed at the Michigan Capitol where they had to cancel their legislative session because of it. So there is immense pushback. But it could, you know, the more afraid people are, the more susceptible they are to buying into this stuff. And, you know, there's all sorts of stuff going around about Bill Gates wanting to inject chips into people, microchips through the vaccine. Now, I don't think that that's the case, although it's possible, but I don't think that's the case. But what I do think is coming out, and this was funded by the Bill Gates Foundation. Let's just do a little search here. Let's see, Rice University immunity, what do they call it? Maybe someone can help me in the comments. There was these little tracking tattoos almost. I don't know if they would actually use the word tattoos. Here it is right here. This is what I think is going to take place. Instead of the chips under the skin, it's going to be something more like this. Quantum dot tattoos hold vaccination record. This was in December 2019, convenient on the timing. Rice bioengineer reveals dissolving micro needles that also embed fluorescent medical information. As you can see here, you get this little micro needle pad pushed down on your skin. It injects these fluorescent little tattoo micro dots. Then these micro dots can be scanned by a computer. Now, when Fauci talks about immunity passports, and when people say you won't be able to travel or go on planes without showing your immunity, proving your immunity, I have a pretty feeling that this is probably the technology that they are going to utilize, these immunity dots. So let me see a little bit of the patents on Bill Gates. Down here. Okay, we're back. Thank you for those of us that stuck around. Let me know if you can hear me, if I'm back. Check one, two. We're almost done here. Okay, thanks. Thanks for sticking around. We lost 20% of the people, but we still got quite a few, 82 people that are following along. So I really appreciate you guys. All right, let's go ahead and wrap up here pretty soon. Let me add our screen here. So another reason why we should take a position, why this is absolutely concerning, is now we have robot dogs that are enforcing social distancing in Singapore. Look at that. This really is the future, and it's not a good future. We have the power to make it a good future, though. But here we have these robot dogs that'll tell people, what the hell are you doing sitting next to your grandmother? You should be ashamed of yourself. And, of course, this isn't just in Sweden. We also see in New Jersey now they are rolling out drones to enforce social distancing. And, again, this is all done to protect you. Here we have a drone that's saying, you are standing too close. You are standing too close. So, oh, ladies and gentlemen, this is why it is important to take a position. It is important to think for yourself. It is important to use discernment. It is important to push back and to fight against all of this nonsense that's coming out. For many of you that are tuned in, perhaps you've been aware that there are efforts by a small itty-bitty group of people to take as much power as possible, to control the masses for their own benefit, to extract wealth from those people, to surveil them, to limit their ability to rise up and secure their freedoms. And whenever we have these emergencies, like 9/11, for example, or this current pandemic, we see that those in power never let a crisis go to waste and will seize the opportunity to run roughshod all over your financial freedoms, your civil liberties, your privacy as well. So I have compassion for the people that are sitting on the sidelines. I understand that people are sheltering in right now and watching the telescreen and the TV maybe more than they usually do. Whenever I actually do check out, usually on YouTube because I don't have cable, I'll check out ABC News, the nightly news, for example. It is the most sophisticated. It's actually not very sophisticated, but I guess for most people it would be sophisticated. Do you have the graphics coming in and the COVID-19 death count with the red bar graph and the experts and everyone talking about fear? And now we see Texas has reopened its economy even amongst as new cases are escalating. But of course, we know that more tests are rolling out. So of course, there's going to be new cases. However, the hospital capacity, last time I checked a few days ago, was only at 14% in the state of Texas. And we don't see a uptrend as far as the number of deaths in the state of Texas. I haven't examined this for every area, but not every area is the same. And we shouldn't have a top-down policy. We should have federalism where different states, different cities, different counties can choose their own policies. And so it's important for everyone to take a position. I'm going to scroll through some of these comments real quick. There might be too many to respond to, very many, but I want to thank everyone for tuning in that is following along what's going on. Thank you, everyone, so much. I'm going to try to be doing more videos to rock and roll, move and groove. The name of this program is Live Free Now. You can find us on the Conscious Resistance Network. I'll also be streaming on my personal Facebook page as well. And there's too many comments for me to even respond to. So thank you, everyone, for tuning in with us. Share this video with your friends. Hopefully it doesn't get censored or taken down. I think that I've presented a really reasonable, logical, fact-based examination of what we are going through collectively as one human people, and I hope that we can get through it. On the flip side, check out my other videos to see how we can take advantage of this opportunity as well to create a better world, to not return to what was normal before, because that wasn't very ideal or in line with human thriving and human flourishing. Rather, we can further the strategy of agorism, decentralization, permaculture, localization, alternative social organizations. Check out freedomcells.org if you want to build your own alternative society based on mutual respect, consent, voluntarism, mutual defense, and supporting one another, mutual aid, freedomcells.org. I'll be doing more videos on that. Like I said, I realize that it's, you know, I'm not really going to convince anyone. A lot of people have already made up their minds and they've dug their heels in. And I've noticed a phenomenon of me bringing up reasonably, for example, you know, it's entirely possible that the mortality rate is actually far lower than originally thought. It's not 2-4%. In fact, it's probably closer to 0.2 or 0.3%. These antibody tests, in my estimation, are a more accurate look at what the mortality rate truly is rather than utilizing the reported cases, because the number of tests has been so severely limited. What do you think about that? Perhaps with the lower mortality rate, we should be changing our policy positions. And to that, I'm called a moron, a crackpot, a conspiracy theorist, an idiot, ignorant. People don't even respond to me. They like talk about me. They say, this John Bush guy, blah, blah. It's okay, I'm right here. I hope you have a good counter argument. Let's have a discussion. So I think really the important focus is there's already enough people that are free thinking that want to secure their freedom, that want to create a better world. So the question is, what can we do as a group, as an organization, as a collective group of individuals that really care about freedom and creating a better world for future generations? What can we do out of this opportunity, rising like a phoenix out of the ashes to create a better society? That's what more videos are going to be about in the future. This is John Bush. I'm out. Peace and freedom. Thank you so much for watching. Stay healthy. Stay free. Peace. Bye.